WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Earlier today, we called New York Times columnist Tom Friedman. He covered the Middle East for 10 years. He's won two Pulitzers. His book, From Beirut to Jerusalem, won a National Book Award. A new edition has just been published. Friedman just returned from a two-week visit to the Middle East. I asked if he was shocked by the assassination of Rabin, and shocked that the confessed assassin is a Jew.
I was shocked in the sense that I never believed it would have happened, but I wasn't surprised. I had just been in Israel, Terry, and while I was there, I heard two stories. One was that Shimon Peres had been at the wedding of an American friend, and he was standing up just to give the wedding toast. And at the wedding, two people stood up and denounced Peres. I heard another story that Rabin had spoken to a group of Americans and Canadians in Israel and was actually charged, attacked by a young man there who did not have a weapon and was thrown to the ground. It was clear to me that the level of discourse in Israel had fallen to new lows, that this was very dangerous, and that's why I'm not surprised that it ultimately came to violence.
Why had the level of discourse sunk like that?
Because we're dealing now with the guts of the issue. We're dealing with the West Bank. We're dealing with East Jerusalem. We're dealing with the what both communities consider to be the crown jewels, and what both communities believe they have the mandate of God, of Adonai, of Allah, to protect and preserve for their community. And so at some level, none of them recognize any temporal power.
Now, what was your reaction when you heard that it was a Jew who was the assassin?
Only diamonds cut diamonds.
Go on.
I mean, you know, it didn't surprise me in the least, because these people understood something, okay? What they understood was that the great Israeli silent majority is who Rabin represented. Yitzhak Rabin was Israel's everyman. And the great Israeli silent majority wanted this peace process to go forward and to happen. They were worried about it. They were concerned about it. But they wanted it to keep moving forward. That is where the center of Israeli politics was. And the extremes understood that to stop this, they couldn't just engage in garden variety acts of terrorism, of political opposition, of demonstrations. They had to go nuclear. And that's what this young man did, basically. He understood that to turn the Israeli silent majority against this process, to stop it from going forward, he had to kill what he thought was the agent of change.
What impact do you think that this Jewish assassin is going to have on Israel's identity, its picture of itself?
Israelis have been living with these sorts of people for a long time now, since the 1967 war, when various extreme Jewish groups have taken up in various parts of the West Bank. Israelis have plenty of experience with them, of them killing Arabs and getting away with it. And it's only a small step from there to killing Jews. So while it's a shock, I don't think it's quite as big a shock as you might think. And I mean, let's be clear about one thing, Terry. Okay, this young man, Yigal Amir, okay, was not, yes, he was an extremist in the deed he did, the act of killing the prime minister. That was outside the pale of any Israeli political party. That was outside the pale of the whole spectrum of Israeli politics. That was his act. But his objective, his goal, was at the very core of the opposition Likud party. He and the Likud have the exact same goal, which is to halt the peace process. So, yes, you know, he is a lunatic, he is a fringe in what he did, but he is at the core of Israel's right-wing bloc in what he wanted.
Well, is the Israeli political right trying to disassociate itself from the assassination.
Oh, of course they're trying to disassociate themselves from the assassination. But he sticks to them. He's their son. Just look at what he said in court today. I did this to stop the peace process. We need to be cold-hearted. You could have read that quote out of Bibi Netanyahu's mouth. That's exactly what his objective is. He would never resort to anything like this, to be sure. But his objective is the same.
Do you think that there's a lot of soul-searching that's going to happen now in Israel among Jews?
I hope so. I hope people will sit back and listen to what King Hussein said at the funeral today. And it was so interesting that it was King Hussein that I think articulated best who Yitzhak Rabin was and what he was about. Because King Hussein, in his own way, was Rabin's true soulmate, because he is trying to do in the Arab world exactly what Rabin is trying to do in Israel, which is take the people someplace new. And basically what King Hussein said is, friends, it's time to stand up and be counted. Are you for this process or against it? If you're for it, then stand up and get behind it and fight for it through democratic means every way you can. If you're against it, then know that we are going to fight you through a democratic means every way possible. But it's lead, follow, or get out of the way. That's what Rabin was about.
Have you given any thought to what impact the assassination might have on Jewish thinking in America, among mainstream American Jews who support Israel but aren't a part of the Israeli political process?
Well, one would hope that American Jews and American Jewish organizations and American Jewish leaders would heed King Hussein's call. The truth is, Yitzhak Rabin was terribly frustrated with American Jewish leaders, and on his last visit here, he lambasted them in the most unusual way and with the most unusually harsh language that we ran on the front page of the New York Times.
What did he say?
He basically criticized them for not standing up for the peace process, for not defending the policies of the elected government of the State of Israel, and for allowing themselves to be the tools of the Likud, opponents of the peace, and actually lobbying against the interests of Israel in the U.S. Congress.
Shimon Peres is now acting prime minister, is likely to become prime minister. How effective do you think he's going to be leading the peace process forward?
I happen to think Shimon Peres is a serious guy, and I think he will be very effective in leading the peace process. The question is, what can he sell back home to his own people? None of us knows the answer to that. I certainly don't.
Benjamin Netanyahu is the head of the opposition, the Likud party, the more conservative party, which opposes the peace process. He said on 60 Minutes yesterday, no assassin's bullet is going to change the government. Do you think that the Likud will try to use the assassination as an opportunity to jockey for more power within the government, or do you think that it won't?
Oh, of course they will.
How do you think the Likud might jockey for power?
I think in the short run, what the Likud will do will be to support the formation of a Peres government. To do otherwise would be unseemly. Then the question will be whether Peres wants to wait until elections scheduled for next October or wants to move them up. I don't know what the Likud's calculation there will be, but I think that once we are through this period, they will not hesitate to bring this government down if it comes to a issue of do we go forward in the peace process, say with Syria or with the Palestinians, in some way that the Likud opposes. It'll be hands-off for a while, but this will be a very short honeymoon.
Well, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
That's okay. My pleasure.
Tom Friedman is a columnist for the New York Times. His book, From Beirut to Jerusalem, has been published in a new edition.